Praise God. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice in, but boy, there's a better day coming. Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalms number 28. While you're doing that, I want to thank you for being in Sunday school this morning. We had the highest attendance in Sunday school we've had in at least 3 years. And we thank the Lord for you being back and for coming back in the Sunday school. Our goal is 222 before this year is out. And I believe God's going to bless us to be able to get that many folk in Sunday school. And if you didn't come today, hope you'll come back next Sunday and be in Sunday school. And welcome to all our friends. Good to see Brother Danny Allen back today. And you keep him in your prayers. And Robert and Jan are here. We've been praying for Jan and asking God to bless her. And thank the Lord for all of you being here. Amen. And all of you in the internet audience as well. We're glad you're part of the services here this morning. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I've come that they might have life and then that might have it more abundantly. It's a good thing to know the Lord. It's a good thing to be saved. And if He forgave us of all of our sin, that'd be sufficient. But He double blessed us. He said, I'm going to give you life and that more abundantly. And that more abundant life is what some people miss out on. That's what I want to deal with today. He wants to have that abundant life. Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ also said, He said, peace I give you, not as the world gives you peace, I give you peace, my peace. Now, how does the world have peace? The world has peace if there's no conflict, if there's no problem, if there's no difficult circumstances. The world has peace. But He said, my peace is unique. You can have peace in the midst of the storm. You can have peace when you're battling cancer. You can have peace when you have a death of a loved one in your family. He said, my peace is different than any other kind of peace you get. It's the peace of God, the Bible said, that passes all understanding. And so we're supposed to have an abundant life. And we're supposed to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. But then the Lord Jesus Christ said, I've spoken these things to you that your joy might be full. And so He wants us to have the fullness of joy. He wants us to have joy unspeakable, full of glory. And joy and happiness are completely different. Happiness depends on happenings around you or circumstance. But joy is something that springs from the inside, regardless of what is going on the outside. He wants us to have that. Paul went on to say, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And this morning when Brother Gary was teaching Sunday school class, and talking about the book of Hebrews and the admonition, whether Paul or who, I personally believe it's Paul, but it doesn't make any difference. And like Gary said, the Lord wrote it. But the admonition was this, let's go on. Don't bog down, don't get settled down, but let's go on and serve God. And so that's the blessing that God would have for us. I was praying about this service this morning through the week, and the Lord, one morning when I woke up kind of early, the first thing in my mind was Psalms 28. Did I tell you to turn there yet? Turn to Psalms chapter 28. Just that chapter. No thought, just the chapter. And I could hardly wait to get in my little office at the house to open it. And I began to read it. And then I read the next chapter and the next chapter. I find in the book of Psalms that there are sometimes companion psalms. For instance, Psalms 22, 23, and 24, or messianic psalms. In Psalms 22, you see our Savior dying. He's the good shepherd that gives His life for the sheep. In Psalms 23, He's the great shepherd who gives His life for the sheep. He never leaves us. He is our shepherd. He leads us, guides us, even through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's a good thing to know that He died for us, but it's even a greater thing to know that we trust Him and He saves us, and He'll be with us and He'll be for us. He gives His life for us. And then, but He goes on in the next psalm, the 24th psalm, it talks about Him coming as victor. And that is the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd that will rule. That's that day Brother Danny was singing about. That's the day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the day that He'll come to rule and reign down the road, have a perfect environment for us to live in, even beyond what the Garden of Eden was. It's going to be awesome. That's an awesome thing. But I find today in my life and other people's lives and people that I know of across this country, there's been such an assault physically, emotionally, every way through COVID and whatever else, that there's so many people that are not experiencing that abundant life. They're not doing what Paul said, becoming more than conquerors. They're not having that peace of God that passes understanding. They don't have the joy unspeakable, full of glory. People are going through, they're just making it. They just are barely making it. And they're under such pressure, under such strain and stress. And you find it just about everywhere you go, and in some degree, just about everybody in this auditorium and in the internet are experiencing that. And so when I began to read these Psalms, God spoke a little truth into my heart that I'm going to share with you this morning. Now, I'm going to read all of these Psalms, and I'll read, I hope you can understand me, but you got to follow me in Psalms 28. And then I want to preach to you on this thought, how to get over whatever you're under. Some of you are under all kind of things. But how to get over that? We don't want to live like that all the time. We don't want to sing that old hee-haw song, gloom, despair, and agony on me. I want to have that joy that he talked about, that peace he had about. I want to have that abundant life. I want every day to be a time of rejoicing, a time of praise, a time with my family, a time that I can worship God. I want God to do that in my life, and I believe you do in yours. And so the question is this morning, how can we get over what we're under? Notice, if you will, Psalms 28, and follow with me as I read. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give unto them according to the deeds, according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He destroyeth them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard my voice, the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointing. Save thy people and bless thy inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Verse 20, chapter number 29. Give unto the Lord, ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of the God of glory thundereth, and the Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful, and the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedar, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like the calf, Lebanon and Sion, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flame of the fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. His temple doth ever speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Notice chapter number 30. I will extol the Lord, and I will lift up I will extol the Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast made my foes to rejoice over me. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you and praise you and give you glory for all that you do. Lord, we magnify your name today. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would help me now. God, not by might nor power, but by thy Spirit. Blessed Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to take over. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir. Thank you, our Father, for touching Brother Danny once again. What a blessing. For Brother Brad leading the singing, us being able to sing the hymns of Zion. And I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would speak to my heart. Oh God, to the heart of all of your people. Give us, our Father, your mercy and grace. Show us, our Father, your way. Help us to be faithful to you. And Lord, if there's a person in this building that does not know Christ, you said there's no rest, no peace for the ungodly, those who don't have God. And Lord, I pray, God, that Lord, before they leave this morning, the God of heaven who loved them before the foundation of the world, who you allowed your Son to bear all of their sins in their own body on the tree, that you suffered and died and bled that they might have everlasting life and rose victorious over the grave, that they might have life also. And Father, I pray, God, that every person who doesn't know Christ in the sound of my voice would trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak now, our Father, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. When I come to this passage of Scripture and I think about it and look over it, I did not read Psalms 27 to you because I read 28 first the other morning, and then I went back and read 27 and then on further. But God spoke to my heart, and what I'm going to share with you now is what God's helped me to glean out of these three Psalms, 27, 28, and 29. And here's what I want you to understand, that God loved you so much, He came to give you everlasting life. In this world, you'll have tribulation. In this world, you're going to have problems. Everybody has problems. In the Word of God, some of the greatest men in the Bible went through difficult times. Job said that man's days are few and full of trouble. He experienced that. But he also said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he said, I will praise Him and magnify His name. I know that David went through tough times, and you find that through his life. Some of it was self-inflicted where he disobeyed God, and some of it was he just had enemies. And I've often said when you read the book of Psalms, you might think that David's paranoid because it's always talking about the devil or talking about his enemies and those that are against him and everything else. But he always ends up praising God. But if you study his life in the book of Kings and Samuel, you'll find out that he wasn't exaggerating. He had plenty of problems. He had plenty of battles. And you and I do. You have real battles. You're real people. You got real problems. You have real battles. But does God intend for us to stay under that all the time? Does God intend for us to be defeated and discouraged and depressed all the time? I don't think so. The Apostle Paul writing, he experienced that, and he wrote in the Corinthians, and he said, I want you to know what I went through. He said, I was pressed beyond measure. He said, beyond strength. And he said, I even despaired of life. Paul went through that time. But yet when Paul was in prison at midnight, Paul and Silas, at midnight, he sang praises to God. Paul learned that you can be in prison. You can be in prison of a physical bondage or spiritual bondage or whatever, but yet you can still have victory in that. Everybody has trouble. Where does it come from? What are the sources of all these things? I dealt a few weeks ago with sickness, and we understand that we live in an accursed world. But particularly when it comes and invades your home, my home, when sickness comes to you, if sickness can bring you this place where you feel like you're under a stress and a strain. It could be that there are satanic attacks. David talks here about his enemies. And you and I have an enemy. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, your adversary, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to know that the devil is real and demons are real. And still in 2022. And you'll have spiritual battles as long as you're in this body of flesh. And the spiritual battles can wear you down. And you can have battles. But then also all the surroundings that are around you. What you have to face every day can bring you down. Dealing with people and problems in the family and problems at work and everywhere else. All of those can bring you down. You just get under that stress from that. And then sometimes it has to do with sorrow. The Bible says that Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus wept. And so sorrow and weeping is a natural thing. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning, the Bible said. It's a natural thing to sorrow. It would be just a really weird situation if you had a wife or a husband for many years and the Lord chose to take them on to heaven and you not grieve or you not be hurt, or if you have a child to die or a mom or dad to die, family, it's just part of us. They're part of our lives. And it's natural to grieve, but there's the Bible said this, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. And so sorrowing as a believer is natural, but it's the way that we sorrow. And how we deal with it and how God helps us to deal with it that counts. But then sometimes we are under a sentence of shame. There are some people who have loved God, served God, but they disobeyed God. It may be some big thing. It may be some small thing, but they got out of the routine of serving God. They quit reading the Bible. They quit praying. They've kind of lost their joy, and they don't have it anymore. And then they get where they are ashamed of pastoring all these years. I've known of people who've been faithful to the house of God, and something would happen to them in their life. It may be some conflict among members of the church or whatever. And then, you know, in just a spirit of, you know, anger or whatever, you know, there'd be words said that shouldn't have been said. And then they'd get out of church. But after they get out and they think about it and think about all the wonderful times we had and how God blessed us and how sweet it is. And it was just the devil and it was my flesh and their flesh. And I shouldn't have done that. And they acknowledge all that. But then there's a sense of shame because of what they've done, because of their unfaithfulness, because they let down their family, they let down their friends, they let down their church family, and now the devil just beats them to death over it. That you were not faithful to God, you didn't honor God, you didn't serve God. And so there's a sense of shame, and you carry that in your heart, and you carry it in your life, and the devil will multiply it every day, that you're just not worth anything. But oh, listen, whatever reason it is, whether it's sickness or satanic attack or whether it's your surroundings or sorrow or shame, the repercussions of those are very, very real. There you have those, and they're very strong. The thing about the devil is he is unrelenting. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't ever quit. He doesn't ever get tired. The Bible said the God of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers, and he's not weary. But that satanic being, he doesn't get tired either. He doesn't give up. And it comes kind of like the waves of a sea and the strength of it. It seems like it's compounded over and over again, and it begins to beat on you. It's constant. It's unrelenting. And then it's very powerful. And what are you going to do? Well, think about the awful effects of it. What does it do to us? Well, first of all, if it's sickness and some other things, and it could even just be no sickness but stress, it will affect us physically. We just feel like we get what we want. We don't have any energy. We don't want to do anything. We don't go anywhere. We just get like that. We're weary in the flesh. The Bible talks about you have to be careful that you don't let the spiritual thing slip. And when I got doing some research on that Greek word one time, it has to means this, come loose from the moorings. It's a picture of this. It's a picture of a vessel that is moored and it's stable, but something happens and the ropes begin to get loose and the tide pulls out and it begins to drift. And it's pulled out further and further and further. And he said, you have to be careful about your spiritual life that you don't let it slip. It means it begins to drift. Pull with the tide and with the winds. Before you know it, you're way away from God. You don't feel His presence. You don't sense His power. You don't feel His peace. Oh, it's a powerful thing. It's a reality. It's not an imagined thing. It's real. And it affects you physically, but it affects you emotionally. Depression comes. All kind of things. You begin to think, why? Why is all this happening to me? You see other people who are getting along fine. And then you get this attitude. The devil wants you to think this, that I'm never going to get any better. I'm not ever going to get over this. This hurting inside, it'll be with me the rest of my life. And my coldness, it's going to be... The devil's a liar. He is a liar. But he'll beat you to death over that. And he'll take away from you all hope of you ever being back where you were. And you'll not be able to serve God. You'll not ever have joy like you used to have, not ever have the zeal you used to have. He'll beat you to death over that because that's his job. He wants you defeated. He wants you discouraged because he knows that a Christian who doesn't have any joy has lost his strength. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then if you lose your joy and you lost your peace, you kind of lose hope. But he talks about us as believers that he said when the world sees us, they ought to want to know the reason for the hope that's in us. And so if we become a despairing people, a complaining people, a depressed people, then nobody looks at us and said, why are you like you are? With all you've been through and you still have joy, all that you've been through, you still have peace. All that you've been through, you still hadn't quit. All that you have, you're still going on with God. You're still being faithful to the things of God. How can you do that? If I'd been through what you've been through, I'd throw the whole mess away. And you'll have a chance to give a reason for the hope that's in you. Man, listen, don't let love die. Don't let peace die. Don't let hope die. There is coming a day. Things are going to get better. It is springtime in the natural, but it's springtime in the life of the church. I believe with all my heart that the church, you're the church, people of the church, and I believe there's got to be a new growth and springing up, and you can get over whatever you're under. Now, how do you do that? I'm going to share with you a few things that God showed me in these Psalms just really quickly. Look in verse 1 of chapter 27 to begin with and listen to what it says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Now, whom shall I be afraid? You can put down there what as well. Here's what we got to do. If we're ever going to get over what we're under, let's don't think about the doctors right now. Let's don't think about the psychiatrist right now. Let's don't think of any counseling right now. Let's just think about somebody who really knows what's going on. Let's focus on the Lord. Look to the Lord. He's real. He loved you. He gave your son for you. Focus on the Lord. Why? Because he made this simple statement, so profound, I repeat it 1,000 times. He said, without me, you can do nothing. That means you can't get over what you're under without him doing it. He will do it. If he wants you to have peace, you can have peace. If he wants you to have joy, you can have joy. If he wants you to have victory, you can have victory. If he wants you to be more than a conqueror, you can have it because it's him. He is my strength. I don't have the determination to do that. I don't have the ability to do that. But he's a God who can. And in my life, in my prayer life, I acknowledge his presence. Thank God he's real. Say this with me. He's in me. Say it. He's in me. He said if you get saved, he comes into you by the Holy Spirit of God. And all that God is, all of his wisdom, all of his power, all of his ability is in you. He is God. And he's able. And if you're ever going to get over what you're under, you've got to acknowledge his presence. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my song. Of whom shall I be afraid? Not only that, but you must not only acknowledge him, but you must believe that he hears and answers you. You must acknowledge the fact that he does care about you. Because you'll get to the place the devil will beat you. You know what the devil told Eve? He said, God doesn't want you not to eat that fruit. He wants you not to eat it because he knows that you're going to be better if you eat it. You'll be like gods. And the devil is always telling us that God doesn't want us to be better. The devil's always telling us God really doesn't care. But I want you to know he does care. And what you have to do is to confess. For salvation, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. You believe it, but a confession. And as a believer, you have to continue to confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my strength. And I believe that he cares about me. I believe he wants me well. I believe he wants me healed. I believe he wants me to have peace. I believe he wants me to have joy. I believe that's what his plan is for my life. I'm willing to obey him. Whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to do that. But not only that, it's as simple as ABC. First of all, you got to acknowledge his presence. Then you got to believe that he cares and he hears your prayer. Then C, you must be willing to confess your sin. Sometimes our sin hinders us. Sometimes it's big things. Sometimes it's very small things. The sin of unbelief. If we don't believe him, if we don't obey him in that, there's so many little things that could be in there. That we let the Holy Ghost of God put his finger on whatever might be in your life and confess and get clean. That's what revival is. Because, see, here we are believers that are supposed to have this overflowing of the Holy Spirit of God, supposed to have the peace of God that passes understanding, supposed to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, supposed to have victory, and we don't have it. Is it his fault? It must be something messing up the connection somewhere. And he says in the book, God's ear is not deaf that he can't hear, his arm's not shortened that he cannot save, but our sins have separated between us and our God. We short-circuited the peace of God, the joy of God, because we've disobeyed him. Could have been that he was leading you in a lot of different ways. I'm not going to enumerate all those right now, but whatever it is, whatever he puts his finger on, and it might be the very smallest thing you ever could imagine, But I've learned this from my own personal life and from the Bible, that whatever he puts his finger on, you confess that first. And don't be general about it. I mean, don't try to do just generalities and say, God, whatever I've done, he knows what you've done, and he'll let you know what you've done. And he wants you to acknowledge that one thing, whatever it is. If it's unfaithfulness to the Word of God, unfaithfulness to the house of God, unfaithfulness in your giving, if it is holding a grudge, if it's having an unforgiving spirit, if it's way down deep in the recess of your heart, if somehow or another you believe that what you're going through is God's fault and God didn't have to let it happen and you got bitterness against God because it has happened, God, the Holy Ghost will break that on you. And when it happens, you'll feel such an awfulness. When you realize how much he loved you and how much he died for you, and that all this time you've been blaming him for what the problems you have. And the devil's very subtle. He does so, and he puts those things in us, but the Holy Ghost of God and the Word of God will bring it to light. But if you get honest with God and you confess that, but not only must we confess, we must cling to his promises. I mean, you just cling to his promises. He's promised you so many things in the Word of God. You can have them. You can believe God. But then let me just go on and say this. You must have confidence in him. You say, Brother Billy, isn't that the same thing as believe? No, I think believe gives us the response, but confidence gives us the durability to keep on going on, to keep on going for God. Look in chapter 27. Look at verse number 3. He said, though a host should encamp against me, whatever it is, if it's real physical people, if it's devils, if it's demons, if it is sickness, if it is whatever it is, whatever the enemy throws at me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He's trusting God. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm not going to be fearful. I have confidence in me. No, I have confidence in him. And I'd say to him, God, you're able to forgive me. You're able to purge me. You're able to cleanse me. God, you're able to give my peace back. You're able to give me my zeal back. You're able to give me my power back. And God, I cannot do anything, but I am confident that you can. I know you can. Look over in chapter 28 and look at verse number 7. He said, the Lord is, not shall be, but he is right now in my circumstance. He is right now. He is my strength and he is my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Notice this, there's a sequence here. The Lord, he is acknowledging the Lord. The Lord is my strength, he is my shield. And he said, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to have confidence in him. My heart trusts in him. And what happens? I'm helped. Just one good session with the Lord. And you won't have to lay on a couch and you won't have to pay him $100. One, acknowledge, oh God, God, you are my strength. You are my shield, and I trust in you. And he said, I am helped. Think about this. The God who ordered who created all this universe, who by him now all things consist, the Bible said, that God wants to bless you. He wants to be with you, and he wants to help you. And when he said, when I came to that reality, I am helped. Therefore, doth my heart greatly rejoice, and with song will I praise him. You see the sequence? I acknowledge him. I cry to him. I acknowledge he's my strength. I trust him, and I'm helped. And because of that, I begin to sing praise. I begin to worship. I begin to magnify the Lord. Hastening on, what else can I do? What else should I do? If I want to get out from what I'm under, I've got to acknowledge the Lord's presence. I got to seek him. Got to be honest about my sin, get all that taken care of. And then I've got to confess that he's able. I have confidence in him. The second thing I want to say to you is this. He ends this little statement in verse 20 that I just read to you in verse number 7. He said, and he is my song, and with my song I will praise him. You ought to just begin praising the Lord. You say, well, I don't feel like it. I don't care if you feel like it or not. If you start praising him, you'll feel like it. Start praising him. Is he worthy of your praise? Yes. Is he a good God? Yes. Has he blessed you in the past? Yes. Do you believe you're going to go to heaven? Yes. Well, why don't we just start praising Him? I don't feel like praising. I'm not well. I've got these burdens. I've got these cares. In spite of all that, He's still worthy of our praise. And start praising Him. Start magnifying Him. Rejoice in Him and glorify Him. Oh, listen, then I'd say this to you. You need to start feeding on the Word of God. Oh, listen, when you start getting your strength, you've been sick and you couldn't do everything, didn't have any taste and everything was terrible, you've got to begin to eat. Your taste begins to come out. And if you don't have nourishment, your body will not repair itself. It won't go on. But you have to have that same thing spiritually. Begin to read the Word of God. Saturate your life with the Word of God. I read this awesome chapter to you. I won't go back over the whole chapter, but in chapter number 29, this is what the Lord spoke to me about, how powerful His voice is. His voice is His Word. And David was testified about what God did with his voice, but it's also that voice, give unto the Lord Almighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory that's due His name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and the glory of the Lord thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. I won't read the rest of it. It talks about all the things He did. His Word is powerful. And it testifies of itself. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful. I heard of people who had COVID and they went and got one of the infusions or whatever. And they said, you know, the next day I felt better. And they're like miracle drugs, this, that, and the other, supposed to make you feel better. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Here's a miracle drug right here. The Word of God is quick and powerful. And if you'll begin to study and read the Word of God, I'm not talking about doing a little devotional thing, but I'm talking about, and Brother Gary did an awesome job this morning, to study the Word of God, read the Word of God. And here's the difference. You go to the Golden Corral, and if you're like I am, and we go to the Amish country, all of those who go to the Amish country with us, you got to pray over your diet before you go. But when you go and they got all this food, I like to do something. I'll pick up a plate, but I don't put anything on it to start with. I like to survey. Man, I'll walk around. I'm going to find where the meats are at. And some of those places up there, they got prime rib. I mean, listen, yeah, you know, I love bologna, but prime rib. And if you got prime rib and then you got chicken, you got fish, some fried, some boiled, abroad, and there's shrimp, and there's some, you know, fried, and you're looking, you're going around and looking at. And so I'll tell you what I think I'll do. I think I'll taste it, and I'll get a little of this, a little bit, and I'll taste it. Well, that's kind of like what you do when you do a devotional reading. You're just kind of looking at the buffet and tasting it. It's pretty good. But after a while, you decide, that's what I want. And you go get it, and you may get, I don't know what you like, whatever you like. I love seafood. I like seafood or whatever. But I get a nice salad, and then I get some, maybe some fried shrimp and some broiled shrimp and some flounder and some salmon and whatever, you know, and I'll get a fairly nice little clean plate there. And then I go and sit down, and I eat it, and I digest it. I eat. And eat and eat until I'm full. And then my body takes what I eat. If I do good things in there, it'll take those good things and it'll build my bloodstream up. It'll build the capacity of my muscles. It'll build tissue, muscle. And it will be helpful for me. Not just the pleasant taste. Not like a devotional, man, that was good. But what I've eaten now, what I've digested now has become flesh and sinew and brain cells, hopefully, all those things. That's what studying the Word of God does for you. It builds you up. And you need to study the Word of God, need to get into the Word of God. But then let me say this. Not only must you in your own self do those things, worship God. You have to confess your sin, get clean, acknowledge His presence, recognize He's with you. He's never, ever going to leave you, forsake you. You're going to be in heaven one of these days, probably before you know it. And so thank God for that. Praise Him for all of those things. And then worship Him, praise Him, and read the Word of God. Saturate your soul with it. Love it. But then I'm going to encourage you to do this, and you're here today. Thank God for you being in the building, for all our friends on the internet. Some people I know are not physically able to assemble. But as long as you're physically able to assemble, I believe God expects you to attend the house of God. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you believe that the return of the Lord is getting closer and closer every day? Raise your hand. He said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He said, you ought not to go to church less in these days. You ought to go to church more in these days than you ever have. Just so you numbers could be counted? No. Everything God ever tells us to do is for our own benefit. I talk to people about every day who watch us on the internet, and thank God for that ministry. And they say this to me, we are so thankful for the internet. And then the next statement is this, it's not like being there, but we're glad we've got it. Some people are not physically able to be here. But if you're physically able to be at the house of God, you can take that but out. And if there's a but, it's not like being there, but it means there's something unique about being in the house of God. First of all, it's an act of obedience. If you come this morning, I say, have you obeyed God today? Well, when you got up and got dressed and came on, you obeyed God. Then I say something to you. There is fellowship here. Now, nothing wrong with husband and wife being at home and a few of the children. But when you assemble with the body of Christ, there's so much you can benefit by. The smiles of God's people, interacting with God's people, sharing blessings and sharing requests and sharing burdens, and knowing people love you. We've all been through the same thing. We're all going through the same thing, and yet God's been good to us. You need to be around the people of God. You need to be around the house of God for the fellowship. But then there is also, I can't explain this to you. I can only quote the scripture. There is a uniqueness to the presence of God when you assemble together. When you come into body in a believer in the church, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. When you come into the house of God, his presence is here in a very unique way. He's with us as we gather together. Now, what does it take to do that? Just like it does anything else, it takes some discipline. Number one, my flesh does not want to get up on Sunday morning and get dressed and come to church. And I promise you, you'll face that battle sometime. Oh, I've got all these things. I've done run all week long. This is the only day I've got. And the flesh doesn't want to come. But I'm going to tell you, when you come, you'll be blessed and you'll be glad you did come. It takes some discipline. I was thinking about those guys back when the great army was circled Jerusalem, was about ready to destroy them, and God in the night sent a death angel, killed 185,000 of them. And there's two of those lepers sitting there, and they make this statement, why sit we here and die? They said, here's an army out here, we can go out here. And they were going to go out and beg for mercy. When they got out there, the army was dead, but all of their food was still there. All their gold was still there. All their weapons were still there. And there was bounty beyond their imagination. And they said, why sit we here and die? And then when they got out, man, it was beyond what they could ever imagine. And if we sit down and we get to where we're not faithful to the house of God, why sit we here and die? I believe you'll dry up to a point. You need to be with God's people. You need to be in the house of God. It takes some discipline. I remember that prodigal son. Remember him? He got out there and he was in the hog pen and he makes a simple statement that we ought to go back and rewrite and underline it. He'd still be there today except for three words. I will arise. You know what he said? I'm not staying in this hog pen any longer. I will arise. I am going to get up. I'm going to go back to my father's house. And he had a speech prepared and all those things. And what you've got to do is just say this, I will arise. I'm not going to spend the rest of my days defeated, discouraged. I'm going to serve God. I want to love God. I'll be faithful as long as I can to the things of God, the house of God. Be faithful to the house of God. But then I'm almost through. Notice, if you will, in chapter 27, just real quick, the last verse of this chapter, actually verse 14 of chapter 27, and listen to what he says. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, as we've gone through this psalm, David is talking to the Lord directly. So what's happened now in this last statement? He says, I know the Lord's heard me. So He said, I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to sing His praise. But now he's not thinking about himself any longer. He's thinking about somebody else. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait means to rely on trust, not just sit back. It means to rely on the Lord, trust in the Lord. Something's happened to David. I mean, he knows God's heard his prayer. He's began to worship and praise God. And now he turns around and looks at his folk. And he said, I'll tell you what you need to do. He said, if you'll just trust in the Lord, look to Him. He'll strengthen your heart. Look down at chapter number 28 and look at verse number 9. And it says this, save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up. He's praying now for others. Boy, his whole attitude's changed now. It's not me, not gloom, despair, and poor me, but now he's praising God and he's rejoicing and he's telling other people. He said, Lord, I want you to bless them too. I'm concerned about them. Look at chapter number 29. In chapter number 29, notice what it said in the last verse. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. David's got something to say now. He said, I tell you what, if you'll do these things, he said, you'll have strength and you'll have peace. He's given testimony. And so when you begin to get back, get strong, you'll just have a natural testimony. You'll just be pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm through. We're going to pray for the drama minister in a few minutes. But I want to give you a challenge right now. I got my calendar out and I looked at it last night. You're here today. Aren't you glad you're here today? Say amen. Aren't you glad I'm going to let you out in a few minutes? Say amen. I was expecting that to be real loud. But listen, counting today or counting next Sunday, you have three Sundays and then Easter. That's number four. Three Sundays. From next Sunday, you got three Sundays and then Easter. And I want to ask you to do something. Everybody in the building, and all of our friends on the internet, you couldn't get here today, but I'm going to ask you to try something. And if it don't work, I'll give you money back. I want you to make a covenant like the prodigal son said, I will arise. And for the next four Sundays, and the fourth being Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, I'm going to get in the house of God. I'm not going to let the weather, I'm not going to let anything keep me from coming. Unless it's something that I just simply physically cannot be there. I'm going to commit myself to be in the house of God for four Sundays in a row, beginning this coming Sunday. I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to try to study my Bible in the next 4 weeks more than I ever have. I'm going to read some in the morning, read some in the evening, read some during the day. I'll keep a New Testament with me, keep one in my pocketbook, purse. Whenever I have a minute, I'm going to read a verse or two. And God, I pray you'll speak to my heart. I'm going to try to read the Word of God more in the next 4 weeks than I ever have. Then I'm going to challenge you to do something else. I'm going to challenge you to honor the Lord with your substance. Prove, the Bible said, your love for the Lord. You be faithful in your giving. On Easter Sunday, we take a 30 piece of silver offering, so you can go ahead and get that ready. But I'm going to ask you to be faithful. I know gas is $4 or $5 a gallon. I know you've had sickness. I know you had all these things. But I'm going to tell you something. God wants us to learn a lesson. You cannot outgive the Lord. And I'm going to challenge you for the next 4 weeks to you honor God with the first fruits. You share with the Lord whatever He lays on your heart. You be obedient in your giving. And then the last thing is this. In the next 4 weeks, once a week somewhere, I'd like for you to testify of Christ. You can pass out tracts. You can just testify. When I'm reading what David said in these three Psalms, he's testifying about what God's done for him. And it's good for you to just tell people, God's been good. When people ask you at the grocery store, how you doing? Say, I'm blessed beyond measure. God's been good to me and I love Him for it. And whatever you, any way you can, but I'm asking you to consciously make an effort in the next 4 weeks, one a week. If you do every day, I'd be blessed. But if you would just take one, in the next 4 weeks, somewhere along the line, I'm gonna be a witness for Christ. I'm going to testify about the Lord. If I can get opportunity, I'm going to share the gospel, tell them how to be saved. But I'm going to ask God to help me at least once a week for the next 4 weeks to tell somebody about the Lord. I want you to bow your heads for just a few moments. In just a minute, I'm going to ask for all those in the drama ministry to make your way forward. Matter of fact, why don't we do that now? If you're involved in any way in the drama ministry, and you may not can all get on this platform, you may not can all get on the floor, but if you'll come and gather around here. But while we're coming, Miss Jennifer is going to play something for us just a few minutes as she begins to play. Let me just say this to you. The most important thing is that you be saved. I've spent most of the time this morning talking about those who are Christians. It's my burden to see many come to know the Lord. The Bible said the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here this morning, you've never had a real genuine spiritual with Christ, you've never been saved, you can have it today. Wonderful thing about it is He already knows you. You may not know Him, but He knows you. He bore your sin in His own body on the tree. He loves you, and He died for you, and He'll save you. If you'll call out to Him, Bible said, if whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe in your heart, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for you. Believe that He was buried, rose again, He's alive. Believe He's there with you right now. Ask Him to save you. But then for those of you, my dear friends, who are Christians, I believe with all my heart that God expects us to live in a victory. We have battles. We all have battles. And when you're sick, you're sick. When you feel bad, you feel bad. You can't do much about that. But your body, and I was going to talk to Brother Danny, I can't remember the exact line that Peter uses in through the eyes of Peter, but he testifies before the judge, and he said, my body may be in prison, this Mamertine prison, but my heart, my mind, every how he says it, God, you may not be physically able to be in the house of God. God knows that. And He'll bless you right where you are. But I'm praying that you'll have that abundant life, that overflowing joy, that peace of God that passes all understanding. I hope that you'll take opportunity to read the Word of God. Please pray for us. Pray for the church. Pray for your church family. Use the internet, telephone. While you're at home, call people. Encourage them. Pray for them. Reach out to people. Be a blessing. But for those who could be here, I'm going to ask you, for the next four Sundays, make every effort to be in the house of God. Be awesome if you come for Sunday school. But just coming back, we've got friends here this morning that have just started coming back. So thankful. I know that they love the Lord. They've loved the Lord. But they know that it's so important to be in the house of God. And I'm asking that we all make a commitment for the next four Sundays that we're going to be faithful. And on Resurrection Sunday, that fourth Sunday, we'll have a great time in the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, all I know is that You spoke to my heart about challenging Your people about how to get over whatever they're under. God, I know that You want us to live in victory. I know You want us to have peace. You want us to have that joy of the Lord. God, help us. In the strong name of Jesus, I plead the blood over this congregation and over all our friends at home and in the internet. And I pray, God, that, Lord, that You'd put a hedge around them, their mind, their heart. And God, I pray, God, that You'd give them victory. I pray, our Father, they're experiencing these next few weeks the greatest joy they've ever known, the greatest peace they've ever known, the greatest acknowledgement of Your presence. God, make Yourself so very real to Your people that we'll walk in the Holy Ghost and be led by Your Spirit. I pray, God, for real revival among our people, Your people, Lord. And I pray, God, You'd bless. Lord, I want to thank You for what You're doing, what You're going to do. And God, we'll give You praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.